So, first of all, I feel like we definitely tried to arrange this sit down about 8 times in the last 6 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
For various different reasons. I think it also was me cancelling on the day every single time. So, apologies to both of you, but also to everyone listening. First of all, I'll ring off. I feel like it just wasn't meant to be, because I think like start of December I had COVID, and then straight after that I was ill again, and then something else happened. And then even up to last week, I literally had everything set up, as you two know, and I think 5 minutes before recording, water just started pouring out the walls. Is that right?
Yeah, that looked peak. Oh. That looked peak. Yeah,
that's stressful, bro.
Here's to that. And I had to send you both a video so you knew it wasn't chatting shit. Yeah. So, oh, this guy... again. So yeah, that was my day last week, was finding the leak and doing up plumber.
Jeez, you get it sorted? Yeah,
I did indeed. Yeah, so luckily I managed to solve the problem myself as well, which I think saved me about £800 in emergency plumbing costs.
Oh, it's not cheap,
bruv. I know, bruv, not a joke. So here we are, finally, for the first time in 2025. Hopefully not the last time, but I've promised many people that the podcast will be more consistent this year as well.
I'm sure the good people of Finland are going to appreciate it as well.
I was thinking about this. I actually had a conversation because I had to talk up the podcast to someone the other day, and just for a joke, I said, oh, you know, like this is, it's also the number one music commentary podcast in Finland. And it made me think, like, who's the competition? Like, how many music commentary podcasts are there in Finland, I wonder?
More importantly, how many people live in Finland? It could be, like, just, like,
it's quite.
People.
I'm going to find out now, actually. But, yeah, it's probably quite a small... Imagine it's, like, 6.
Nah, it's definitely more than 6. I played in Helsinki one time. It was fucking freezing, but it was good, though.
Population of Finland is 5.85 million.
Okay. That's good numbers,
though. This one says 5.6, so there's like 200,000 people missing. 5.6 million. There's 19 people per square kilometer.
Wow.
There you go.
Jesus.
Shouts to Finland, by the way. Thanks for keeping us as a chart-topping podcast. Whereas this conversation is going to pretty quickly knock us off of that number one spot if we don't move on to some music shit.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, how has 2025 been starting off for you? Obviously, like, January is always notoriously a shitty month for DJs. Well, for me anyway, I'm talking for myself. It's always a shit month for me. So how are you two feeling?
Steady, man. It's been steady.
Yeah, just, again, similar thing to you, mate. Like, it's not been... great in terms of gigs. It's actually been a lot quieter than most Januaries that I've had, but the plus side is I've been able to just kind of like get my head down and just like bang out content and yeah, do like all these mixes for YouTube and stuff. So just kind of trying to use my time wisely and just kind of yeah, just help build more of an audience online rather than just like sitting at home doing nothing for like the whole month.
Mm. Craig's just nodding. He's like,
yeah. No, I'm agreeing. I've had steady gigs throughout the weeks, but nothing, you know, like the usual monthly residencies per se.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been getting some reels done, putting them out, starting to do more, buying lots of lighting as well, which is good.
Yeah, I noticed the lighting game's gone up in the garage. Yeah,
it has, mate. Yeah, it has. Yeah. I need to get the garage painted now.
Yeah.
But that's an expense that is slightly different, but I'll work with the lighting first. Might get some props in the background and stuff. And yeah, just trying to build up the Insta, TikTok, and the YouTube as well. Got a couple of YouTube videos out, a couple more recorded that I'm waiting to go out as well. So
wicked.
Yeah, man. Just
I think that's definitely the platform for DJs this year, isn't it? I've seen a lot of people like shifting their focus now to YouTube. And you know what it is as well? Because I actually did the same. I dropped a set on my YouTube at the end of last year. And I thought, you know, my thinking behind it was, I'm actually tired of putting out, like, stuff that's just being digested quickly. Like, the reels are cool, but 2 days after I've done it, no one cares. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, yeah, I actually want to put stuff up, like, more long-form mixes and things onto my YouTube. Yeah. Not just to kind of help and showcase what I do, but actually so that part of what I do is living for a bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, you can always like take highlights from that, like we were saying earlier, and make reels off of it.
100%,
yeah. I mean, and then, you know, do the whole, oh, if you want to watch this, link it back to that, link in bio, and then obviously upload to stories. You know, you can kind of like cross-promote across all the other platforms and stuff, and if one of those like reels pops and goes off, then hopefully it will feed through to like YouTube and stuff. So yeah, it's a no-brainer, man, because like, you know, sitting there trying to think of, oh, what routine can I do today, when really and truly you could just like have a sick mix that just goes viral, and then
two songs
it.
That people like.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. 100%. I think it's about having some balance as well, because I think like we've all, us three are both like technically gifted DJs, and we have the ability to flex and do the madness, but it's like, it's not every day like four deck super blends. Do you know what I mean? Even just yesterday, actually, it's funny from what you just said, Cable, like yesterday I posted a clip from a set that I did that is on YouTube, and the clip, I'm not really doing anything in the clip, I just mix from one tune to another. But what's funny about the clip is the resident DJ, it's Davido, Unavailable.
Okay.
And as the chorus drops, we both do the little dance, but we didn't clock that the other person was doing it, so we're both perfectly in sync with each other.
Sick.
In the video, and it was just like, there's nothing like, a DJ wouldn't watch it and be like, oh my word, I really want to be like him. Do you know what I mean? But, the views have been really good, because I think it's just something entertaining, and it looks funny. But then, I've said the whole mix is on YouTube. Go and check it out there. Do you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah, I think people just want to see vibes. I think that's why like Donch has done so well, because like what he's done is like, I know Dan filmed like some of his R&B slow jam sets, so he's able to like chop up like an hour's worth of footage and like drip it over you know, like a month's worth of content, which is wicked. But because like it's well shot, well lit, and people are vibing, that's what's getting like a really good reaction. I think this whole sitting in a studio setting is great, and it can work for certain DJs. Like, still works really well for Flex, works well for Raymond, and you know, Shuji as well with his effects and stuff. But like having that organic footage of like, yeah, you just like playing songs that people like, and it's going off. People want to be a part of that. And they're like, oh, absolutely sick. Where's this party? When's the next one? And you know. Just kind of has, just get, you know, gives a bit more like info about you, and yeah, just piques a bit of interest. Do you know what I mean? So,
Hundred percent. I think, yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's as like, for me, I always try and find the sweet spot between like entertaining the general population, but also finding that thing where I know like DJs are gonna watch it and be like, oh shit, is that what he's about? But
you
sometimes
I don't always care about that so much, you know. I don't care about that so much.
Do you not?
You know? Nah, I don't really. Like, I like. It's funny because I like seeing other DJs do sick things.
Mm.
I think for me personally, I just want to put out what I like. If people like it, great. If they don't, c'est la vie. Do you know what I mean? It's not that much of a big deal to me. You know, I'd rather get say 100 non DJs than say 50 DJs, because ultimately, I'm not playing for them. I'm playing for people that want to come see me or you know, listen to what I like as well. Mm. I don't really think about it too much, about what other DJs think.
Yeah, and I think that's why like a lot of us like overthink stuff, because we're like, oh, I don't know if that reel's too like technical enough, or if it slaps enough. When really, like deep down, we're just trying to impress up DJs. When you know, that's great. And then all of a sudden, what, you know, A-Track likes your post, and you're like, yeah. But like you said, you'd rather have like, you know, 100. Extra like followers or people that are going to buy a ticket and not come to an event and stuff.
Yeah, that definitely should be the key. I think for me, it's not about, it's never about impressing DJs. But one thing I always do have in mind is like, I don't want the DJ community to watch it and be like, this is shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like you need to fuck up really, really badly for DJ community to say like, this is shit. Like either, I don't know, you proper clang something, or you do the most like off key, out of key blend, and you know, like put Shania Twain over Wiley Eskimo or something like that. And yeah, you know,
well, I did see Taylor Swift over J. Cole, and it was like the guy was,
that's a big you, Craig.
He was trying,
yeah,
it was one of those things, you know. I think some people were trying to cook too hard at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And I think they're really, like, with the wordplay stuff as well, I think they're trying too much. It's all subjective, of course.
The thing is, though, you've got to try, haven't you? Have to try. Something might work that you might not expect it to. So I think, as long as it's not, you know, not everything has to be to our taste. And this is the thing. It's just
people
and what they like at the time. So
that is the main thing. I looked at it and I watched it and I thought, this was terrible. And it felt to me very, very, it was a reach. Like, it was a reach. Do you know what I mean?
As a J. Cole super fan, did you feel like it was blasphemy?
It was blasphemous, bro.
That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy.
It was bad. But I looked at the comments and there were so I didn't comment. I never like comment bad vibes on other people's stuff because that's their page, innit? But there were some people that were like, nah, this ain't it, bro, and this isn't the one. Da-da-da. But then there was other people in there that are like, this is so sick, this is amazing, you're my favourite DJ, rah, rah, rah. So it's like, it is very subjective.
It's subjective. That's it. Because people will like J. Cole and they'll like Taylor Swift at the same time. So
exactly. Like, best of both worlds, mate. It's like the new R. Kelly and Jay-Z.
Anyway,
FaZe.
Next one.
FaZe have released. FaZe have released a new version of their controller. And did either of you guys, do you use FaZe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love FaZe. Shout out to FaZe. Send me all FaZes.
My experience of FaZe has been an interesting one. Because do you remember before they launched, they basically got everyone to buy the product that was going to buy the product before they even had a product? They basically crowdfunded their whole entire operation. Because there was people, they sold the idea, I think, and then all the DJs paid for it, and it was like, you pre-order, but you've now got 18 months to wait while we actually make this thing. I don't know if it was 18 months, but it was a long time, and to me, it was quite evident that they had the idea, but they just didn't have the funding for the idea, and that's how they created it. So I hesitated at first. I was like, I'm not buying into something that doesn't quite exist yet. But then during lockdown, obviously, a lot of indoor streaming and stuff going on the turntables. I ran out of needles, I think. So I was like, right, time to get some FaZe. And I was very impressed with it. But it's come to the new versions now. And I'm on their mailing list. So about a month ago, I got an email saying, we have got a groundbreaking new thing happening. Mm-hmm. We're so excited to unleash it to the world. The world is going to change. There's going to be no more hunger. Like, there's going to be no more war. Everything is going to be perfect. And then when announcement day came, it was just FaZe with a touch screen on it.
It was very, like, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, like, it could be cool. It could be sick, yeah. And I think Blakey hit all the points straight away. And the one thing that I noticed was, you know, the fact that you can mini map it and put stems on there. But it's like, you'd have to, like, imagine, like, mid-mix, like, trying to hit FaZe to, like...
Yeah, it's like you're in an arcade.
It's like you could just, like, mini map it to your mixer. Like, all the things that you can mini map to mixers. Like, why are you going to mini map it to a FaZe? Like, it doesn't make no sense. If there was something that kind of went round, like Blakey was saying, something that kind of moved round mechanically with the platter, where you're able to kind of actually like touch something and it you know, you haven't got to like you said, like, you know, hit it like it's a magic claw or something like that. That would make sense. But I don't think this is the one. I don't think this is it. I could be mistaken. I could maybe find some use for it, but you know, they're charging what, like $800 or $900 for it?
I read $800 for the pair, which is ridiculous in my opinion.
That's
you're right.
It doesn't bring any additional benefits to the current FaZe, in my opinion. That's worth that, you know, getting rid of your current FaZe and buying the new one. I haven't even entered my mind to buy the new one. I don't think it's worth it.
I agree, and I think you're right. Blakey actually did say, like, you know, the I think they're the Pioneer decks that work with Serato, and they have like the circular module that goes on the top, and that thing is their version of FaZe, basically. If FaZe had made a spherical one with a touch screen all the way round, but somehow somehow engineered it so that the touch screen didn't rotate with the platter, so obviously the digital display would be rotating the opposite way, but because of the movement, it would look like it was still. Does that make sense? If that was possible, and the buttons were there in one place, it might be more useful. But it's like you said, cables, stuff you can MIDI map to the mixer, where the buttons are right next to your fingers when you're doing the volumes. Why am I now reaching out, like, to the left, a foot to the left, to push a quick stems? But like, we need everything here. We need everything within this bit here so that we can do the magic quickly. And now it's over there and it's spinning.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Whoa! Error. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it's a bit forced. I think it's a bit forced, personally. Because everything's trying to incorporate stems features, isn't it? And, you know, different ways to increase the creativity. But I just think for phase, I don't know, maybe just B phase.
You know, and it's like, all right, cool. You could, like, you know, instead of, like, mini-mapping it, you can put, like, your logo on there or something. But it's just, like, who's really going to see that or appreciate it? Do you know what I mean? It's, I feel like it's a cool toy that you can mess about with in a studio. And, like I said, maybe there's something I'm missing here that's so blatantly obvious that we could use to enhance our sets. But the original phase, like, I'm still using it, like, what, 3-4 years later, and still solid. Battery life is still good. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah. And it's such a good product as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, so good. I think, I don't know. I just think it's a bit forced, man.
Yeah. So that the only way I can think, the thing is, yeah, these tools that are continuously coming out for DJing are supposed to make our lives easier. They're supposed to make the tricks and things that we do easier to do. But this particular enhancement just makes it harder. It's a step backwards, in my opinion. Unless, and you're trying, like you're saying, maybe there's something we haven't thought of. If someone took it off the platter and used the buttons remotely in their hand, but then it defeats the object of being a phase. Now it's just a remote control.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which changes the application completely. So for me, if I was phase and I was like, right, we need phase number two now and it needs to really help the DJs out, I'm increasing the battery life. I've not had this problem, but apparently some of the original ones have an issue with the battery swelling.
Yeah.
And warping the phase. So I'd straight away work out how we get rid of that problem. I would have it so that you can actually map more than one pair to a remote. So if people want to do 3 or 4 deck mixes with phase, you can. And the final thing I'd do, I would add storage and a retractable USB head. Maybe a 2.0 and a USB-C on the opposite side. But that can be your emergency USB. Because now, bang, someone's just dropped a drink on my laptop and I just pick up my phase and plug it into a CDJ on the side and now the music's coming out from the folder that is in my USB key that is actually a phase. Do you know what I mean? That's what I would do to enhance it and think, right, what do DJs need?
Yeah, I think, and also, yeah, like you said, that and just making sure the firmware's like super tidy and always up to date, because, you know, sometimes there's like a few issues where the BPM can like drift. If you're like, you know, mixing and you're kind of, you know, adjusting it, it can kind of go off a little bit, and then you've got to like put it back to like zero, double tap to recalibrate it. If they can kind of iron out those little things, then you wouldn't, I think you don't even need to like really change it. I think provided, you know, you could either increase the battery life or make the firmware like rock solid, like how Scratch Live was back in the day.
Yeah.
You don't need to like really touch it. It's the whole like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And they've pretty much got a near perfect like product there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not against innovation and trying to improve things, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see who was on the panel when deciding.
It doesn't seem like DJs were on the panel. That's the thing. It seems like someone has this product and they're like, yeah, we'll make it touchscreen and we'll make it interact with the DJ software, but they're not actually a DJ themselves. So they don't realize how inconvenient it is that you've got to fucking hit the target as it's going.
It's almost useless. It's almost useless because yes, you can, I guess you can activate the stems feature when the platter is stationary, of course. But then, like Cable said, you might as well just use your laptop or MIDI map it to the CD or to the mixer. So,
Yeah, because again, sometimes you want like a blend to just like run straight away. You don't want to like have to like stop and then like scratch something, and you want to be able to do it all like seamlessly. You know what I mean? Yeah. What else could you do with it, really? Scroll your library, load a tune, instant double is like how you're gonna scroll your library whilst it's going around in a circle.
Yeah, this is the thing, man. It's the movement. That's the problem. It's the fact that it's rotating. Mm. It's going round and like, yeah. Very, very, very strange update in my opinion. There was another
thing. Shout out to FaZe though.
Yeah, big up FaZe.
We're not haters. Sick product. Like taking away the touchscreen element of it is a sick product.
The original FaZe are a very good product, and they have made life so much easier. Which I'm so grateful when these companies and products that pop up do make things easier. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But I think sometimes less is more. And they've released a product, but the product's older version is better and more useful to us. So it's like almost pointless. Yeah, weird one. I've not used them yet though. So like, I could use them and be like, whoa, this is a game changer. If that's the case, obviously I'll talk about it on here and we can backtrack on everything we said. And so, no, it's actually really fun trying to hit the buttons while they're rotating.
I'm sure that the phase element is a lot tighter as well than obviously the older ones, which again, I'm sure is a good. It's only a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's just, I think just the touchscreen element is just, I think it's a bit wasted on the product. I don't think it's really necessary, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a really good, terrible idea.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Basically. but yeah, anyway, shouts to FaZe because they do have a product that we all use and love. So yeah, big up FaZe. Although mine does still rattle. They said they were gonna fix it and they never did. But it does still rattle. Right, so I'm just looking at the topics and I just reminded myself of the weekend. I messaged you guys, didn't I?
Yes.
About the I went to a private function on Saturday. That's what we're gonna call it, a private function. It was a birthday party for someone, and when we got there, there was a girl who was booked to DJ, and she came in with a controller, and I can't remember what controller it was, one of the older Pioneer ones, and then she went out, and then she brought in an amp, but it was like, you know, the home hi-fi, you know, like the, what are they called? They're called hi-fis, aren't they?
They're like because to be fair, some of them for like a Bluetooth speaker perspective, they're really good.
Yeah.
I think a mate of mine, Si, I think he's got a JBL one.
Right, okay.
And in his living room, you just have it like just to play music or whatever in the house. And they're really good quality. I don't know if that was the same one or what though, but yeah, I think it's like a JBL, like hi-fi speaker, I guess.
Hi-fi. So I haven't said the word hi-fi for so long that actually it didn't sound right, but it is called a hi-fi. So yeah, she had a hi-fi amp. And then she went and she got two small, like, house hi-fi speakers. And it was the ones she started wiring in. So she had, like, the wires of the speakers. And she had to undo the screw. And she was wiring in the speakers to the back of the amp. I was just sat there. I had nothing to do with it, but I was a guest, by the way. So I wasn't DJing. It was nothing to do with, like, work. I was just in attendance, and
did she have like a cassette deck and like a mini display as part of the hi-fi as well?
No, she didn't. It was just the amp. So anyway, I was sat watching because I was like, this might possibly be her first ever gig. That's the vibe I was getting, the way she was setting things up. So I'm just watching and I'm watching. And once she'd wired the speakers in, again, they were really small speakers. Like, this is not gonna slap the house party. There was already music playing, by the way. So at this point, I think it was probably about midnight when she turned up with this. There was already music coming through one of the big Bluetooth speakers. Anyway, she's setting up. And then once she'd wired in the speakers, she got a lead that was probably about a foot and a half long, right? And on either end was a mini jack, like you would get with normal headphones. Mini jack. She forced the mini jack into the white output of the RCA on the back of the controller. When I say forced, she it wasn't going in, and she made it go in there. And then...
No loop.
No loop, she didn't even spit, nothing. And then on the amp, she did exactly the same thing. So she's got the mini jack lead coming in from the white, like the left input and output on an RCA. Like,
did it work?
No. Of course it didn't work.
She might have just... You know,
I mean, she might have found a hack that none of us knew. But and then, so she was stood there, and I could see she's getting frustrated at this point, and like... So naturally, I'm like, she needs help, right?
Damsel in distress.
I'm going to help. So anyway, I got up and I asked her first. I was like, do you need help setting this up? She goes, yeah, there's no music coming out. I was like, yeah, first of all, like, this is the wrong cable for this. We should take this out. But I said, pull this one out, because I didn't want to pull it out and then half the unit comes out with the cable. Like, nah. So I was like, right, pull that one out of there. And then I said, right, have you got a quarter inch, like a bigger jack for it? Because I said, have you got any other cables? Do you have one of with the red and white? She goes, no, 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 this is the only cable I've got. She held it up. It's like, this is the only one I've got. And I'm like, right, okay, all right. So I told her on her headphones, she had one of the big jacks. So I said, right, put that adapter on there, and then we'll put that in here. So we put that into the booth output of the mix, of the controller. Because the main output was XLR. There was no... of the jack, so put it into the booth, and I was like, right, that's the output. And then on the amp, it had an auxiliary in, small jack, so I was like, right, that goes into there, cool, that's sorted. So now we've got like one channel's worth of very, very crackly, very quiet music starting to come through her speakers. And basically, she couldn't figure it out. And then she was like, well, how am I gonna DJ now? I've got no headphones. Oh, you know what? I've missed a very crucial part of the story that happened right at the start. This is what got my attention to her, yeah? Well, as soon as she got there, she put her laptop down on the table, turned around, and knocked a drink all over her laptop. Like, oh, immediately. This was within about 10 seconds of her arriving at the table. This drink went all over her laptop. And then there was a little bit of fuss. She was like, oh, no, no, I can't believe it. Right? I promise you this happened. She picked her laptop up and tipped it to her mouth with the corner, and she started drinking out of the corner of the laptop. Like, she was like drinking. She was doing a laptop.
This has to be a lie,
bro. I can't believe I forgot that detail. This whole thing kicked off.
Where? What city was this in? Or town?
This was in Sevenoaks.
Right, that's mad.
In Kent.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
And
surprising.
And it was a house party as well. It was like just a small birthday party for someone that I know. And yeah, so this girl is drinking from the laptop to get the drink out. But it didn't stop there. Once the main part of all the fluid was out, she then held it flat and she was going on the keyboard to get all like the residue out and stuff. And she's like, it's working. And she was literally like, that's how my attention came to like, okay, the DJ's here.
Did the laptop work?
Well, it didn't. It wasn't not working, but she wasn't then using it for DJing. So I don't know but it was on and she had it just sat balancing on one of the tiny speakers next to the controller. It was just there. But like anyone could have just knocked it. Again, this is a house party. This is in someone's front room. Yeah. So anyone could have just knocked it and that's it. Lights out. But the thing that caught my attention here was now back to where we were in the story. She was like,
no headphones.
I can't DJ because my headphone jack is now in the back of the controller and I've only got a mini jack. I said, it's fine. Your controller has the mini jack hole for headphones. She was like, oh, has it? Yeah. And she was like, oh, right, okay. So she put it in. She's like, oh, it doesn't work. So, oh, okay. All right, surprise. So anyway, now she's got no headphones. She wasn't using her laptop to DJ. She had a USB plugged into the controller. And she was trying to mix, and she was like, I don't know how I can DJ without the headphones. And I was like, well, just line up the BPMs. I was like, what are you going to be playing? She was like, I'm going to be playing house. I was like, okay, well, that's fine. It's all the same speed. I was like, line up the BPMs so that the next one, it's at least at the same tempo. And I think maybe she'd never, ever done it before. She had no idea. She was like, what's the BPMs? And I was like, right, okay, come here, I'll show you. Anyway, I'm leaning from the wrong side of the controller, leaning over. And there's no music coming out of this thing yet either. The music's still playing from the other speaker. And I was like, right, let's test it. Let's get it playing here. And she was like, oh, it's not playing out. So I was like, right, we need to turn up the booth. So I turned up the booth and it started playing. And as soon as I let go, it stopped. And I was like, oh, no. I pushed it down and it started coming out again. And then I let go and it stopped. Man. And I was like, this is not the vibe, surely. And I said to her, I was like, you need to push this down for the music. I said, I'm not standing here all night holding this thing down. No way. So, yeah. Anyway, she was DJing with no headphones, absolutely no knowledge of what BPMs were. And she was, her right hand was constantly on the booth thing, pushing it down the whole time. And she's trying to do everything one-handed and hold this booth. Mate, it was an absolute...
That is a baptism of fire.
100%.
That is a baptism of fire. Now,
yeah. So, yeah. I mean, one day...
This is why you need to, when booking a DJ, you have to make sure they know what they're doing as a bare minimum. Not even if they're good. They have to know like what they're doing. Like from a technical perspective, because
I think
that's no party, is it?
No, but I also think like it is kind of on the person that booked her, but also as a DJ, if you're stepping into this world as a brand new person, like this, it's not just as simple as doing your TikToks and doing a little dance and going viral. You need to know, like, I think the most important part of our job. The most important part of our job is knowing what to do when the shit hits the fan so you can solve the problem quickly. Yep. Because if you're in a club and you've got 1,000 people there and something goes off and the music just stops, like, well, I'm pretty confident us three will know within about 5 seconds where the problem has come from. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You can tell straight away. You know where to look and what to instantly look at to see, is it the laptop, is it the mixer, is it the amp? If it's the amp, that's not my problem. Do you know what I mean? But like, but we instantly, as seasoned DJs, know immediately what the problem is, and 9 times out of 10 I would say how to solve it.
But you have to kind of go through all that to know how to solve it.
That's
as
true.
Well. You know what I mean? Her baptism of fire, like, she'll be able to go away from that and be like, you know what? Next time, I need these cables. Yeah. I need this. I need that. I know not to spill my drink on my laptop. And, you know.
And this is another thing as well. You know what I mean? I say it quite a lot. I think it's quite important to have, like, mentors.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, OGs, yeah. 100%.
You know, like, within the community, even if it's not necessarily a friend, but, like, say, there's someone you can reach out to if you have a question, that they're going to be open, honest, and also helpful as well. Because when I started learning how to DJ, I got booked for my first private party. I remember, okay, but I called Paddy straight. I was like, bruv, what do I need? You know, like, and he was like, don't worry, mate, I'll come help you out. Boom, boom, boom. And hooked me up with a few bits and pieces that I didn't have.
Sick.
Then it's like, right, okay, cool. This is what I need to get to be able to go and do this. Mm-hmm. You know, so if she didn't have that, that's not necessarily her fault. A lot of it is to do with the person booking her, I guess, because...
I think they were friends. That's where it came from. It was probably a case of like, you're my friend, I'm having a party, come and play the music.
Because they won't necessarily know either as well, I guess, which is fair enough. But I don't know. I think in that situation, I would always ask what I would need rather than getting there and figuring it out. I always try and figure out before I get there. Mm-hmm. So that is on her. But like I said, it's a big baptism of fire. So I'm sure she will just learn from it and next time... she'll be ready, you know. But you're sick for helping her, though.
Yeah, definitely. Because like some people just been like, some people would have problem, bro. Yeah.
Or like, I was tempted.
Being corny and laugh or whatever. Yeah, obviously it's tempted, but it's not the right thing to do, is it?
Yeah, no. I'm joking with that because it is a case of like, you know what it's like when you are in those situations. Like, we have the knowledge. Why would I keep it to myself? Like, clearly, clearly, she needs help.
It'll be a
help.
Dick thing to do. It'll be a
100%. She, like, it was. She had absolutely no idea what she was doing. Plus, also, like, it was a party that I was at. No one wants it to just be a YouTube playlist coming through a Bluetooth speaker. But yeah, it was a an interesting experience. I think because it's of working every weekend and DJing out at clubs and stuff and not going to too many social things myself, it was definitely a reminder, like, oh yeah, this is what normal people do, like, with their parties. I feel like that's probably a normal thing as well for, like, just a house party DJ to turn up. No one has a fucking clue what's going on, and, like, everyone just has to figure it out, like, yeah. Well, that was an interesting one anyway. It's I think it's a story that's going to live with me forever.
Yeah, especially with the additional context.
Yeah.
100%. Everyone listening is like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys.
Ask me when ask me when you see me. So that thing that I posted in the group chat, did you see the big long description, right? So I've been actually spending quite a bit of time on LinkedIn. Have either of you two been on LinkedIn before?
I've got LinkedIn. Yeah.
Right.
For work.
So, yeah, okay, of course. I mean, for me, it's quite a new venture because I was just like, I wanted to check it out because I was like, yeah, let's just see what's going on. And I'm looking into other things as well. So I got onto LinkedIn. Turns out it's just like Facebook, but for people that wear suits.
Yeah.
Basically, like... And I'm there thinking, I'm going to be able to network, I'm going to grow who I'm connected with. But instead, this week, it's just been a bunch of HR people posting about Elon Musk doing a Nazi salute. And they're all complaining about it. I'm like, bro, take that shit to Facebook, man. Where's the money? But yeah, I found this very interesting thing, because obviously I selected the fact that I was a DJ, or as LinkedIn loves to say, disc jockey. Sorry, side note, and I know this is giving ADHD, but do you know how many people don't realise what DJ stands for?
Yeah, it's quite mad.
I've never really spoken to people about it.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna ask that question to, like, my little brother and his mates and see what they say.
Yeah,
be interesting. Yeah, to do a bit of market research on that.
I also feel like it needs changing now. Like, this jockey sounds a little bit diddy to me, but also,
it's
like,
pausey, isn't it?
We're not even using discs anymore. It's like data.
Digital jukebox.
Digital jukebox and data.
Basically what we are.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, sorry for that little tangent there. So a bunch of deckheads, and I think a bunch of deckheads is a company, and I'm absolutely not worried about shouting them out for this at all. They're looking for a professional open format disc jockey to work in their venues throughout London. You need to submit a bio and a recent 30-minute mix. Apply now. What you need is a laptop, a controller, cables, and it actually lists the specific cables. If only that girl had known. Broad music knowledge and professionalism. What they need from you is an open format mix. 80s, 90s, hip-hop, R&B, Afrobeats, indie, pop/chart, garage. I love this genre. Floor fillers. Oh, funk, soul, favorite. Old school classics, dance, electronic classics, commercial/sing-along. This is giving Deltic GM.
So all within 30 minutes?
Yeah,
all in a 30-minute mix.
Fair.
A minimum year's experience. Job type is freelance. Expected hours, 4 to 8 hours per week, night shift, pay.
Here we go.
£20 an hour.
Hey, yo.
My lord. So I immediately deleted my LinkedIn profile.
and signed up to a bunch of deckheads.
This is not the place for me. But yeah, it was just... I read that, and I mean, I've just read out that whole thing on here, but I think it's very important. Like, that's fucked.
Bro, and I can tell you straight away, the venue's not paying the agency like £20 an hour.
As an agency, naturally they're getting more. But I think like, as an agent, and they're called a bunch of deckheads. So that gives the me the impression that they are DJs.
They are dickheads.
And they are. Yeah, that they are dickheads. But no, it gives me the impression that they're DJs. I might be completely wrong, but. Yeah, but DJs should care about the culture and they should care about preserving the value of the work. And I think for an agency to be offering £20 an hour for a night shift. Now, okay, if it's a day shift and you're not expecting a lot of footfall and there's not huge requirements like the list of every single song ever played to be put into a 30-minute mix just to prove your worth. Do you know what I mean? It's like, hang on, why? What are all the hoops and like? I don't know. What I wanted to, am I overreacting now, or is DJing just worth £20 an hour now?
Nah, definitely not. It's again, like I said, it's, you know, there are some agencies out there that, you know, the venue pays them 400 and they pocket like, you know, half of that, and then the DJ's only getting 200, none the wiser. You know, it's crazy. But you know, there are a lot of there are agencies out there that compensate fairly. I've worked for one. They're on point. They're very transparent with you know, what they get from the venue and what they pay the DJs, which is what you want. But yeah, for an agency to be paying someone, and that's the thing you said, what, 4 to 8 hours? So what, someone's going to mash like an 8-hour shift, like, and get paid what?
160 quid.
Right. That's. Don't, and you know, there's worse ways to make that money. And you know, in the grand scheme of things, like someone who's in an office job, an average, like regular civilian, probably not getting £160 a day for doing, you know, 8 hours worth of work. Do you know what I mean? So, all right, it's relative in that respect. And you know, people's circumstances are different and stuff. But
yeah,
for a skilled job at the weekend with potential, you know, good footfall, sales, and everything like that, if it's in like a busy city, yeah, £20 an hour is trash.
It's in London as well, right?
Yeah.
In London. Yeah, in London, where it's £500 per cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
That very same city. Where one drink pays your month's wages for those. Like, yeah, it's I don't know, it's absolutely insane. Wow. Of course, like, there's different levels to DJing. Of course, you've got the big guest headliners that are charging 10 bags for an hour. And then you've got residents that are not charging 10 bags for an hour. But I don't know how you can possibly justify offering £20 an hour to DJs.
What's missing from that, I must say, what's missing from that is we're looking for a beginner DJ. That's that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a beginner DJ. Because they said with experience. But
do you know what? I think these days, a year's experience isn't considered beginner anymore. I see people that have just come out of their bedroom landing all night club residencies. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's no like development anymore, it seems.
It's straight, I mean?
And you're right, they should be saying for those requirements and that fee, they should be saying we're looking for a brand new DJ who would like to get experience playing to a live audience. Here's what you need. And we'll give you £20 an hour. For someone who's brand new and that's their first ever job, I still think it's a little bit exploitative. You know the word. What is it?
You could take someone coming out of like, or just started uni or just come out of college that maybe wants to learn. I think you're right. I still think the wage is still a bit low because obviously the additional factors, it's nights, it's late, you know, 8 hours is still quite a long time. You know?
But they're also telling you to bring the equipment. You're bringing the controller. Well. You're bringing the laptop. Yeah. You're bringing your music. Like,
It should be like £50 minimum an hour.
Yeah, man. And that's a sad reality with like a lot of like London bars and like smaller venues now, is that they don't have equipment. They all stripped back after COVID. You know, there's some that used to have. I mean, shit. Even Revs in Ipswich, they still got the same CDJ 900s from like 14 years ago. Haven't bothered upgrading. to the point where like the DJs just bring controller now because like it's the only thing that they, you know, not using that shit.
You're almost forced to have to bring it back up, aren't you?
Exactly, and they bank on that. They know, all right, cool. We don't need to spend like £5,000 getting a whole new Nexus setup in. they'll just bring their £500 controller, like, job done.
It's because they don't understand also the importance of the quality of that, because it does have an impact. Like, I play at a venue at the moment, and two of the channels are broken, and one of them's on its way out. And like, I've said to them a few times, I'm like, guys, like, it's very temperamental, like, very temperamental on one of the upfaders. I'm like, guys, like, you have to get this fixed, because it's going to die, and, like, the likelihood is it will die on a Saturday night when everyone's in there having a good time partying, and I can only mix off one channel. Like, it has to be fixed imminently.
Oh, mate. There's one venue I play at. It's a similar thing. Like, every week there's something wrong with one of the CDJs or the mixer or the other CDJ. And I swear, like, they have like three or four venues within the same vicinity. They just swap the equipment out from every single venue. So, like, you complain, it gets fixed the next week, but you go to the other one, it's like, oh, the key buttons don't work on this CDJ now.
Oh, this CDJ again.
Yeah.
You might start tagging them yourself, mate. Track it.
Yeah. Use one of the UV pens so you can put your UV over it and see. I think, you know what? I think as DJs sometimes, it can be difficult to say, to like slam your foot down to a venue and be like, look, this needs to be replaced or I am not playing. And I think the problem, especially at the moment with so many clubs closing down and so many people being available for work, clubs can just be like, okay, fuck off then. Because I've got 10 DJs that have emailed me this week that want a job. So if you can't do it on this, one of them will. And I think
it's all in delivery, isn't it? I think the way to deliver it in that situation is to say, hey guys, this will die and it will ruin a night. Like, it's going to affect your money, essentially. Rather than putting it on yourself saying, I'm not going to play, I think if you put it on them and tell them what's going to happen, because we've all seen it happen, like mixers die or a CDJ dies, mid-set or whatever, you've got to adapt.
Yeah.
If you kind of put it in that way, then you might get a bit more luck of getting a replacement bit of equipment.
If you can manage, if you've got somewhere where like the person in charge doesn't really know about the equipment, at the start, get there a little bit early, and at the start of the night, just tell them it won't work. Yeah. There's no music coming out. If they don't know how to use it, they can't be like, oh yeah, just they put the fader up. But you could just tell them, yeah, it's not working. I've been telling you for a month now that get it fixed. It's finally broken. Oh, well, it was working last night. Yeah, but it's not tonight.
Yeah.
You need to fix it. And watch how quickly they fix it before the doors open. Because that's happened to me, actually. It has happened to me where I've said to a venue, I've got there, and I've not said it wasn't working, but I've said, I cannot DJ on this. I think it was a case where it was like, it was a 900. Two of the channels were shot to bits, or one of the channels didn't even have a fader on it. And the remaining two channels, one was super crackly and it was very temperamental. And I just thought, you know what? This is going to be an absolute nightmare of a night. So I just said, I can't use this. Like, it's not working properly. And we can't play. Like, the music's not going to happen tonight with this mixer. And they very, very quickly got it replaced. Oh, that just happened to be lying around, did it? Well, now we're here and we've got a working mixer and it worked. But you're right, it is about delivery. And again, like, younger and less experienced DJs might be nervous about losing the work but I think it's important. Like, the important thing is that clubs give us decent equipment that works, that we need. But on top of that, if it's not up to scratch, and they might not know that, we tell them and kind of enforce getting it fixed is important. But yeah, back to the £20 an hour thing, it's disrespectful, I think, because they're definitely making a slice of
value
in
the craft. It's devaluing the craft.
It is devaluing the craft.
For sure.
The other thing is, I don't know how many people are actually looking for DJ work on LinkedIn. That felt a bit weird to me, because I just saw it because it popped up in notifications. And I was like, yes.
I also feel like from a venue perspective, well, actually, no, again, because the agency might have taken a massive cut, but say they weren't, and the venue's like, we can only afford to pay £30 an hour, right? And the agent's like, all right, cool, well, we'll take like £10, you know, per hour's our cut or whatever. The venue and the agency are doing a disservice for booking DJs that aren't going to be that great for venues. And surely over time, if the venue's known for not having a great DJ, people can be like, I mean, do people care? Are people still going to go? Are people going to be like, you know what?
They never look at the long term, mate. They never look at the long term. And it doesn't just happen with the venues that are charging cheap. If it happens with the venues that are probably a bit bigger, they can definitely afford it, but they still rather go for a cheaper DJ.
Yeah.
Like, they're always just trying to save a penny, man. It always affects them further down the road. Seen it many times, man. Many different venues, even ones that I haven't been in myself, but I've heard people tell me stories about as well. It's just, it never ever ends well. Trying to go down the cheaper route. Oh yeah, we can get him. We can press buttons. He knows he can play R&B. It's just like, well, can he? You know, like you need to really know what you're booking.
But I also think in some of the high street places where people just go just because it's open and maybe they like the drinks there or they're not really musical people, I think they don't care. And I think some people, like civilians we'll call them, I think can recognise sometimes when it's a shit DJ, but all they will say is, oh, that's a shit DJ. They'll still dance when their favourite song comes on. And they'll still go there again the next Friday because they like to drink and that's where they will go with their friends.
I don't think that's sustainable though, because I know quite a few people that, you know, they go out and whatever and they say, ah, the DJ's not good, so we're not going back there ever again. There's right, quite a few people that do that, you know, that they want to go because they want to hear a certain style of music or they want to be entertained, even if it's just not the style. They want to be entertained, and obviously the DJ is a key aspect of that, if that's the only form of entertainment. So you have to book one that knows how to keep people engaged within the venue, still buying drinks, not leaving after 11 o'clock to go to the next place, you know? It's about keeping and retaining. And that's a skill in itself, not just playing songs that people like. You need to learn how to keep people in the venue.
Yeah.
You know, almost taking people on a bit of a journey.
Oh, 100%. Definitely.
And if your DJ hasn't got that skill, it's not sustainable just having someone that's going to go in there and play a top 40 because the top 40 soon runs out.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think there's a way that we can just like communicate this to the GMs across the country? Like, you lot need to invest in your DJs.
Bro, do you know what it is, right? There's always like talks of like DJ unions and all this sort of stuff to try and get across one common message.
Mm.
But where there's always going to be deckheads, where there's always going to be people turning up with small speakers with wires that you've got to wire in yourself as a luck electrician. Like, there's always going to be that side of it. So it's quite difficult to, not necessarily gatekeep, but, you know, make a standard. It's quite difficult to make a standard, man, because there's so many different elements to it where people try and cut corners.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult. It is pretty difficult, to be fair. And you've got the agencies as well. You know, you've got agencies putting probably lesser experienced DJs in, kind of like exploiting them for lesser money as well. It's just got a role and effect. So whenever we see the topic about money, I always put it in there, I'm like the monthly conversation.
Like
it's actually quite crazy because it's not going to change. Yeah. Like as much as we all want it to, it's actually not going to change. So that's why I think that's where I think you're wrong.
And your own bread. That's where I think you're wrong. I think it is changing, but it's going the wrong direction. It's going down.
Yeah,
like 100%. The stuff I'm seeing, and when I'm speaking to resident DJs and I'm like, I'm asking them about like, how's the club been? How's things going? Like, how do you feel about working it? I always chat to resident DJs about this kind of stuff. And quite a few of them have said, yeah, it's okay. Like the club's doing cool. The numbers are consistent, but the managers just cut my money.
Mm.
And it's like, rah. And I think like, and these are like corporate clubs and, you know, high street clubs that this is happening in. And I think for resident DJs, it's becoming harder and harder every year for it to be a career. And it just seems to be now a lot of the resident DJs have 9-to-5 jobs that keep the bills paid and keep them afloat. And they just enjoy DJing. So they go out and they make like the pocket money almost. Do you know what I mean? At the weekend. And it's like, I felt like the dream used to be do the weekend residencies and build everything up. And then eventually you can leave the day job and become a full-time DJ. Do you know what I mean? But it feels like the dream for the younger DJs now, that as a dream is just becoming further and further.
That's also impacted by the amount of venues closing as well. You know, we're all fighting for the same bit of cheese, essentially, in some areas, I would say, in particular. So that obviously makes it more difficult too.
Yeah, and I think young people's the way that it's all gone like now, like I don't think that's what they aspire to. They just want to go viral and, like I said in like a previous episode, like have their own boardroom moment, pop and then try and tour off of that. Do you know what I mean? Or build a platform online and, you know, be able to kind of sell tickets in venues for that as well. Do you know what I mean? You know, whether you're known for like, you know, Blendemics or, yeah, your content goes viral for whatever reason. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the way that they're kind of seeing it now. As like, if there's limited opportunities to do that, I'd rather do my own thing online, still work a 9-to-5, and then yeah, if I can not tour and do whatever, wicked. But yeah, I think the whole kind of weekend residencies and being able to kind of DJ on the weekend and take the whole week off, yeah, like I said, it's just a thing of the past now. Like, it's not sustainable. I think in, you know, rising bills and all this shit.
It is. It's definitely becoming a lot more difficult for people. 100%. Well, there is more on this topic, but you know what? There's a whole nother topic that branches off of this that I actually want to open up. But I want to do it at the start of the next episode, actually, because otherwise we're going to be sat here talking for about 4 hours. And I know, Craig, you have to cut. So
yeah, I do have to shoot. Apologies.
Yeah. So
hard out for me.
The part two of this conversation will start on the next episode, I think, because it's definitely an interesting one to open up. But yeah, for now, that's what we're doing for the start of 2025. This is episode number one. Cable, Just Craig, thank you very much for joining me, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, mate.
And everybody out there listening, thank you very much for listening. It's a Talk Over podcast, DJ Double, Cable, Just Craig, and we're back next week. See ya.
Peace.